Welcome to the Round 4 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus and I'm joined this week by FB Donkey. Welcome back, mate.
G'day, mate. This is one of those weeks where I dread coming on the podcast a little bit because I can see from that stupid smile on your face that you nailed your trades, you've beaten me this week and you're up and about a little bit. Tell all the listeners how you went, mate.
I am particularly proud because I scored 22.07, but importantly, I had Dangerfield still on the pine and I have 400K in bank that I just couldn't spend. It needs to go into Paddy Dow this week, but I'm basically two premium short. So to come away with a 2200 score, I think is bloody awesome. Hopefully the save trade actually delivers points down the line because it's not good just forfeiting points every round. 2207 is a decent score, but probably not the biggest of the week, I think.
No, but you nailed your trades this week though, mate.
Yeah, I did. We really struggled with last week's show. When we recorded, it was Monday night, and then news kept coming out around injuries and stuff. So we started off by saying you should hold Neil and probably trade Cripps at that stage. That was the fresh news. Cripps injured, Neil fine. Then we went through I think we lasted one day, and then we got news about Neil being injured. So I ended up trading Lockie Neil out. So Neil out to Josh Dunkley, which somehow worked out very well. I kept Cripps, who somehow scored 109. And then I did Warner in for Tyson and Warner on field, and he obviously scored 100. So that was pretty awesome. So yeah, very happy. How about you, Mark? What did you do with your trades in the end?
Well, I think the injury Neil on news did play out. Like at halftime, you would have been shitting yourself. You would have been like, oh, God, what have I done? He's on 72 at halftime. This is a terrible decision. And yeah, then just seriously faded as the game went out, which is really consistent with having a back injury. And then further news came out later that he said that, yeah, it was concerning scan results and stuff. Yeah, probably a good move getting rid of him at the price last week, so well done. I traded Paddy Cripps to McRae. I think that cost me a few points in the end, but not too worried about that move because McRae looks great, and Cripps was struggling a bit at halftime, and his score was boosted by a couple of goals in a very big win, which I wouldn't expect from Carlton very often. So not too worried about that. I was desperate to get Impey into my team and just couldn't make it work just because of the order of the games and the way that news came out of different rookies playing and not playing and having to take Grundy's VC score with my loophole, who I was going to trade out. Didn't work in my favour last week, so I only used the one. So I've only used two so far, so Dane and Cripps out so far. I might go again with a double this week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm obviously thinking about how to use my 400K, so I'm doing another correction.
I don't have Paddy Dow, which was awesome because everyone else does. Team scored 21.72, so only just behind you, and still ranked in the top 10,000 at 8.391, which is a pretty good start. I'm pretty happy with that. I feel like things haven't gone perfectly for my team. I've got a lot of issues, or had a lot of issues. Like I have Oliver score 60 or whatever on the weekend. Yeah, reasonably happy with the start.
And I guess once you've been playing for the years that we have, the bar isn't that high. You don't have to start off in the top 200 to feel very happy about your team. Really having the right shape and not having too many long-term issues is where you want to be at. And I can resonate with that feeling. Not everything's gone right, but you take the small wins. And I think one thing that is probably interesting too is that with Gawn scoring 160 and Grundy scoring 160, they just about matching their price with their output at the moment.
It was funny to see a lot of people that had the Gawn Grundy combo on Twitter at the end of the weekend getting out there and saying it was a clear win for that starting combo, but I just don't think it's a clear win at all. Like I think that they're probably breaking even about at the moment. Yeah, we'll see how that one plays out.
Well, before we get into this week's actual content, a lot of the questions are really focus around FOMO, Mark. This is not traditionally the time of year where you want to be recommending a lot of trades. Some people may have another correction trade or two to make just because of where their team started or where trade week ended up for them last week. Saw a couple of people who, due to keeping options open for Sunday laid outs, meant that they didn't end up pulling the triggers they wanted to. Part of the headaches of having the rolling team releases that we're now facing into. Outside of those, most people should really be holding tight for at least a couple more weeks, letting probably minimum of three price movements cycle through before you start looking at trading a little bit more aggressively. Generally, it's a pretty quiet week. So a lot of questions relating to, is it too late to XYZ?
Well, we reverse roles this week, mate. You've come on, you've had a good week, you've made great moves. You're like, you're the one with all the sensible advice. You're bringing me down. I'm into crypto, mate. FOMO's my thing.
Look, I think I've got a FOMO in a few categories too.
I think that one thing we definitely nailed though, mate, is the Clark at D6. The teams with Cozzy, Sharp and Highmore were thrown into a very difficult situation on the weekend with not really any way out of that. And Cozzy 22 on field and dropped a mark 20 out right in front of goal. And not having Hayden Young as well. You do have Young? All right, you've got all those guys, don't you? No, okay, so not having him as well. And luckily for me, like I had Hayden Young last year and he got injured like early in a game and missed a whole chunk. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going back and doing that again. And unfortunately, it's played out again.
Yeah, he was looking very tempting after round one. Fortunately, round two tapered expectations, and round three, worst result, an injury. So a bit unlucky there. I think last week we recommended, if you didn't start him, not to trade him in because of the Nathan Wilson situation, how that played out with his kick-in. So hopefully there's not too many fresh trade-ins from our trader device, but it doesn't stop it hurting if you started him, especially 1 week after correction week. Before we get on to the questions, though, quick plug for our Patreon. So our top Patreon at the end of the year will walk away with $200. The current leader for that is Zach's team, Patton's Generals. He scored 22.83 and is ranked 204th overall. So doing well there. It wasn't enough to take home the top scorer for the week overall, which was Roger's team with Charlie Kirkshow scoring 2,362, enough to push him up into the top 1,000. So shout out to those couple of guys who are doing well in our Patreon group. And don't forget, if you want some bonus content, we record an extra show after the main show. We've been allocating more and more time to that. I think we've been doing about 25 minutes of bonus content each show. So if you're looking for a reason to support us and get on board, patreon.com/supercoachcoach. is how you can say thank you with a little token and get some extra advice. All right, let's jump onto the questions. And first up in FOMO week is Alistair Campbell's question. He is asking whether or not we cut our losses with Lachie Neale. The back injury news, though, that does potentially change things a little bit. He has dropped a bit in price in the 1 week. I hadn't looked, but I think he's slated 80K. So is that enough for you to roll up your sleeves and just go, that sucks, but I've just got to hope he turns it around now? I struggle with giving advice, Mark, that sees you flip-flopping unless you're absolutely certain you're about to take a loss. And that's because once you're weak slow, you're behind everyone who made the decision at the right time. And then once you've traded into it, you're no longer holding the alternate position. So you've got your feet in both worlds, but you're behind the pack in both regards. So it's really not a strategy that you want to go with unless, again, you're certain that this pick won't work out. And in this case, we're talking Lachie Neale no longer having the potential to average 120 plus. Because his price has dropped, even what he needs to score to stay in your team also has to drop. Like, he doesn't need to match last year's output anymore to be worth it. He needs to be matching his current price point in terms of average moving forward. So that also helps reduce the bar a little bit.
So first thing, woke up this morning, looked at my team, went, Lachie Neale, you got to go, mate. Just because it's, damn, I wish I'd made that move last week. I was making that move right up until an hour before the game and decided not to. Whew, at halftime, I was pretty happy about my decision. And so it's now very, very tricky. So this morning, woke up angry, woke up ready to go. Bit of time to think about it during the day. Looking at my team, it's okay, so I trade Neale to who? Say Dunkley or Tom Mitchell, right? Like, they're probably the two top contenders. Similarly priced, so I don't really get any money out of it. Are they going to average more than Neale over the course of the year? Mitchell, probably a bigger favorite than Dunkley to do that. And Dunkley has the forward eligibility, which is great. But is the difference that's going to be between them worth a trade? That one's a really tricky one to say yes to. So even though, and FOMO week is the right idea, right? Like, even though my emotions are telling me I should trade, sensibility and looking at logically and comparing the options, it's probably going to be hard for me to make that trade this week. I may just YOLO do it, but I don't necessarily think that's the right decision. Now, we do have a little bit more information on his injury. It's worse than we expected, probably. How long does it take to recover, and can he recover during the season? I'm not sure.
Did they release any specificities around the injury itself?
He made a comment after the game in an interview saying that there was something bad about the scans, which we didn't have that information before the game. We only had the one Channel 7 reporter commenting for 4 seconds at the end of a news clip. So, yeah, it's more information. I'm probably just keeping him. Hope he comes good. I mean, he showed in that first half he's still got it. What do you reckon I should do?
Yeah, I think you should probably hold. It's just, yeah, that 80K drop just means that 120 would be a fine result. I haven't done the actual conversion, but I'm guessing he's dropped like 12 points in value.
And break even of 212 this week, so still very high.
I think that, to your point, the side swap now gets a lot hairier because also the options that you want to trade in, like Dunkley, he's gone up in price as well, shaving the amount of value you had on being able to move early on it. And yet, more importantly, he's still shown in pockets under duress being tagged that he can still rack up a large amount of points in a short period of time, and that probably isn't going away. I wouldn't be that happy about it a week out of a result that you wish you could reverse, but I think the sensible thing to do is to hold.
Being sensible is not fun, Marcus.
No, it is not. It is not. Well, why don't we go to the next question from at Troy Danaher, a long-time listener, community member called Yort on the forum. Is it time to jump on the text train or has it already left the station? So I'm happy to report that we're not the only community out there who recommended against him. But, gee, in hindsight, because he scored a 130, last week he was the right trade-in. He went up like 110K in 1 week. His break-even still really low. 6 goals to the tune of 130 points. Like, he's also playing better. The game style changes has suited him, etc.
He has North this week too.
Look, I think because we recommended against him last week, he's gone up 100K. There's no way we're recommending him this week at 400K, right? Unless there's some concession that this guy's a true rolled gold premium mark. The talk is he's going to kick 100 goals now, which means he may average buddy numbers, which was 110 in his heyday. Any change of heart at all, Mark?
So I want a time machine to go back and trade Neil to Walker. That'd be the ultimate break-even Supercoach swap.
You would have been so against that last week. I think you were.
100%. Yeah. Look, I think that I'm probably not great at picking outliers, and that's what this is. Most players with a scoring history Lactex Walkers, a really, really long one of never being premium numbers. It's very, very unlikely to get 3 games in a row and that the third game would be 130. But sometimes it happens, and sometimes there's a whole bunch of factors that all come together and it actually happens. And well done to those that did pick him, but unfortunately if you didn't, yeah, you've missed the train. Break even negative 33. You're bringing him in for scoring power now, not for price movement. And like you said, I'm not sure he's going to be like a top 3 forward or something this year.
How about Impey, though? Impey, he ended up having another 100-plus game. He's playing more off the halfback versus the wing after the injury to Will Day, which is predictable following last week's events and how that played out. He's probably of Neil, Tex, and Impey, you know, of the FOMO trade so far, he's the one that, you know, I think I'm most likely to reconsider. What do you reckon about Impey, Mark? You mentioned trying hard to bring him in. Does that sort of continue on into this week, or are you happy to let him go at the inflated price tag?
It's a lot closer than the Walker decision, I think. There's some structural reasons. Once Day was down, it was like, okay, he becomes even more important and I need to get him into my side. Just could not force the trade to make it work. Like, if DeGoey hadn't have played in the first game, I would have traded DeGoey to him, and DeGoey only got 50. He's definitely in consideration this week. Like, I am strongly considering making a move to bring him in. I'm not convinced that I'll do that. It's really tricky to bring someone in at 300,000. You're hoping that they're going to become a keeper really at that rate. And he could get close to that. I'm not confidently bringing him in this week. And I think that the failure rate of that is reasonably high. Do you think he could become a premium this year, given rule changes, a structure for Hawthorn?
No, don't really see that happening. No issues with bringing Impey in last week. I just didn't have the trades to end up being able to do it. Now that I'm a week late, the situation changes. He costs more money. I'm no longer in a position where I think he's a good trade-in. He was a good one last week, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, next question is from Shannon Swan asking whether the Dow to Warner trade is too late. Is there any ever real reason to bring in a rookie after one price increase?
I don't think so, is there? Break even negative 72, so it's still really low. Like, he's priced at very similar to what Impey was last week, so that's pretty good. Can the Swans keep winning games? Not totally sure. I guess the good part about him is that he had a really good score on the weekend, and you get that score for the next couple of weeks in his price movement. So you've got a little bit of a guarantee there. It's really tricky trade. Who do you trade to Warner? That's a really tricky sort of movement.
Dow to Warner.
Okay. I'd probably be
like anything to get Dow out. Sure.
Yeah, well, I think that potentially Alec Waterman could be a play you look at in that situation. Yep. So he's only 100,000. If he gets games, he's going to make money and quite a decent amount from 100,000. That would probably be where I'd be looking at if you didn't have extra cash in the bank like you do, Marcus. I probably wouldn't be going Warner. It seems like he could post a 60 anytime.
Warner's 220. If you're going to trade in Warner, you might as well pay 70K more for Impey. You got to treat him like a mid-pricer now. He's no longer the rookie. Next question is from Matthew on Twitter. He regrets not trading Dow, but I think I just want to mention that keeping Dow for an extra week, like, it sucked for the points on field, but potentially you emergency'd him anyway because he's been presenting terrible scoring. Didn't really help me because I put Brockman on instead of Dow and scored a grand 2 points more. But I guess the main point is Dow still went up last week. Like, in terms of all the players you could have traded out, Dow is a fine pick to have rolled an extra week with. I don't really have a huge issue with it. But Matthew's asking Mark whether or not to go to Chapman or go early on Waterman. So I guess bringing us into the rookie part of the show, Chapman on the bubble this week, came in after round one for Frio. He's played the last two rounds with all the key backs being out. Job security is all right with some injuries at the Dockers. And I guess this might be more pressing if you have the Highmore, Cozzy, Sharp problem in your back line, hey?
Yeah, I think that there's probably people out there that are going to have to make a move like this unless Highmore gets reselected, which you think is a good chance after the crap that the Saints showed on Saturday. The Dockers' key backs are injured for a little while. Chapman should get games for a while. 148, not crazy price-wise. Yeah, I don't expect consistent huge scores from him. He was probably a little bit lucky against the Blues. The ball spent a lot of time in his area. Very strange game to watch. Fremantle just barely got it past the center. So yeah, probably a little bit inflated from that, but does have really good wraps. And if you're looking for a defensive rookie, they're very thin on the ground. So this guy could turn out to be a really important pick in the context of this season. Because I got to say, you do not want Kaczynski on your field. I
certainly agree with that. All right. Next question. Now we're getting on to the player that was actually injured, Mark, and Hayden Young is the guy that we're finally getting on to. You referenced him earlier before. The first question is from Dr. Bones, a longtime vet on Supercoach Coach Community. He's asking whether to trade Young to CJ or a premium defender like Short. And another question here from at Went11SC or Ryan on Twitter. Have we missed the boat on CJ? Is it better to go Young to Chapman or do Young to CJ? So Young to CJ is certainly high up on the run sheet. I guess Isaac Cummings also doing all right, probably worth mentioning him. Mm. The question is, do you take a mid-pricer, Mark, or do you just go for a rolled gold premium if you can afford it?
I guess if you can afford it, you take Short. Like you were saying earlier, once you trade into a mid-pricer, you end up locking in further trades, which is really tricky. Jath has looked really good, like, to the eye and scoring really well. A couple of hundreds in a row, a bit like Impey in the same side. Cummings looked really good as well. Been scoring really good points. So I reckon either of those two are pretty good picks. Who would you take out of those two is probably the first question.
Cumming, just because he comes with better security from the kick-ins. Like, he looks like he's getting a decent chunk out of GWS, whereas CJ, I'm not sure he's getting that same amount, even though around the ground, CJ definitely, like, that's the first time I've seen him live. I went to the Geelong Hawthorn game, obviously, and, like, he looks awesome as a footy player. And he scored 119, 118 the last two games compared to 199 for Cumming. So CJ's definitely flashier, but I would probably be going with Cumming. I think that he's also a higher pedigree in terms of his draft ranking. So now that he's had the opportunity in that back line, yeah, he's averaging 93 so far. He's the guy I would have picked last week. After another 99, it's hard for me to short him. Price-wise, I think they're basically the same, 330K-ish.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said there, mate. I would have Cumming ahead of CJ. I think that there needs to be a third option discussed here, and that's Chapman. So you were talking earlier, we're guns and rookies from now on. Even though you're trading a mid-pricer in this situation, do you think you would consider Chapman over those two, or just the fact that we've got two other alternative mid prices that are presented so well, you should take one of them.
Yeah, I'd go to Chapman in that situation. So I've got heaps of mid prices left in my team. So I'm very much of the camp, and I guess I mentioned it already before, once the season starts, premium rookie, I want to complete my team. I don't see CJ or Isaac being keepers. At 330K, I want them to be, and there's just so much competition. Like, I can't even pick the top six defenders at the moment. There's so much decent scoring down there that I don't really need to take a risk on the mid-pricer. In the forward line, outside of the top five, like, I could see an F6 scraping by with a lower average. You know, it was looking at the Butters types in that spot, or looking at Isaac Heaney in that spot. There's question marks over who's going to get to that 100-plus average. Whereas in the back line, who's going to get to 105, 110-plus? And I just don't see those two guys doing that sort of sustainably. Honestly, at 330, if they average 100 or 95 even, it's probably still fine to have in your team. I mean, leave to a maybe last upgrade, but it's just not the way I approach Supercoach. I'll generally try and pick the top six in each line from here on out, and those two don't fall under that candidacy. If there was no rookies on offer, I'd take them as good alternatives, but because there's Chapman around, bank the 200K, look to an early upgrade.
I would say take a premium, then take a rookie, then take the mid-pricer is the way I'd rank the three options if you could. I think that CJ and Cummings are very good options. It's just like you said, they're very unlikely to become a premium this year.
Yeah. So final question on Chapman / the rookies. Jeff Lanes asks, Cozzy out for Chapman or pass? So I guess if you're fine to the extent where you're looking at trading out a playing player, even if it's one that's not scoring.
I'm not sure that he's going to be playing much longer. Honestly, looking at my team, that is in strong consideration this week. So if I had Cozzy, Highmore and Sharp, I would probably make that move this week, Cozzy to Chapman. Because I'm not relying on the rookie, and Highmore might come back this week, and Chapman already has a bit of a premium. He's not like a basement rookie. That means that it's 50-50. It's closer. It's definitely in consideration over the course of this week about whether I make that trade though.
In general, I'm not a big fan. I think if Cozzy gets dropped, then all of a sudden that becomes a fair bit more attractive. But if he's playing, unless I see him literally out of the team, you just never know. You never know who's going to get a big score, spike a big game. They have played the grand finalists from last year in the first three rounds. If he manages to keep playing games, probably wouldn't rush it. But otherwise, I think that advice is sound, Mark.
I think as soon as Gunston's ready, Cozzy's out and might struggle to get back into that side with that injury. And Hawthorn do play the last game of the round, but they do play against Fremantle, so you could make that move late in the round.
Very, very convenient timing for the trade in and out targets to be playing in the same game. So that's good. Good call out there, Mark. All right, last question. It's a question from our mate Moosey. If you've been listening to the show for a while, he's a vet. He came on the show.
Wasn't he retired? Didn't he quit Supercoach?
He tried to retire and then he had to come back. And he's asking about Burgess. And actually, a few people have mentioned him. And that's because we've got Witts, who's just gone down with an ACL. That goes with Day also being out. That goes with Smith being out for another month. I think they have another rookie that's also done an ACL. Basically, have no known ruckman left. Burgess, even though he played as the sub-ruck in the game, looking at their full list, that might be his role anyway moving forward, which has brought up the question. Chris Burgess at Sol Ruck, he's 200K in the back line at the moment. Should he be firmly on the radar? Now, I guess we've been talking about Highmore, we've been talking about Young. He's probably the little spanner in the works, Mark. Have you been tempted at all? We do like a solo ruck and taking a bit of a risk on that. 86 last round.
I can't believe that he's their only ruckman that's left. That's tricky. We saw Fullerton for the Lions on Thursday night. I was against Grundy, but he went solo in the ruck and scored maybe 46, 48 points. So just because you've got solo ruck, if you're not up to it, that doesn't mean guaranteed points. Burgess did do pretty well against Riley O'Brien. I guess I'd probably like to see another week out of him. So he's only played the one game this year, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you can get another look at him, and I think that if he does well, we'll probably discussing him quite a bit next week. I'd find it really hard to go to him after one game Although it looks like he'll have that role for at least the next month with Smith injured.
You'd think even at training, things could pan out differently, right? Like they wouldn't have been in this situation before where they even would have had to consider Burgess as their number one ruck. I think taking the time to let things play out is probably the most sensible move on this one, especially if you've got a player like Chapman available this week as an option. We'll be keeping a keen eye out on that one for next week's show.
Moosey should just take him early though. Just
do it, Moosey. All right, that wraps up the content we had for this show, Mark. So we're going to go off and record a bit of a Patreon bonus, but I suppose any final thoughts, comments, anything you want to finish off with in FOMO week for our core listeners?
Yeah, so I thought that the games on the weekend were – there was a lot of outliers. Like there was a lot of very weird results, some very strange games. All the games at Marvel ended up in thrashings and not even thrashings that you would have – predicted who would have given the thrashing before the game. And I'm not sure what caused that. Is it the new rules or was it just third week of the season? Or like I was at the Bombers-Saints game and the Saints were awful. Like Bombers just aren't that good. The Saints just kept kicking the ball out on the full and then you watch Fremantle and they did exactly the same thing. They were just awful against Carlton. I mean, it wasn't because Carlton were like amazing. So is that what's going to happen for the rest of the year? Are we going to see more games that are decided like that or was it just a bit of an outlier? And I think that it messed with the scoring a little bit. So Freo Saints players underscored significantly compared to what you'd expect in a loss. And I think that would potentially change going forward. And then you had the Geelong Hawks game, which was unlike any other game this season, completely different. I don't know what Geelong were doing. They were time wasting for three quarters. A very strange game. Yeah, I'm not sure that round three was a good indicator of what we're going to see going forward.
I think we're still seeing the rule changes and different strategies play out. And sometimes different teams with different strategies and different application coming together have brought up some very interesting results. I think that the teams with the sharp foot skills and quick ball movement doing surprisingly well. It's a bit interesting, as you say, in terms of what teams are doing and how they're executing. And I guess personnel matters a lot as well. Some of that stuff, like Jones, absolutely toweled up Freo. They would have killed for another tall forward down there that wasn't a ruckman. All right. With that, we'll wrap up for another week and catch you for round five. See ya.
So, yeah. Jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy.